Blakely has served in different capacities under a succession of presidential administrations, has guided government policy on urban planning as a widely cited academic. My name is Sean Britton from 2SER 107.3 in Sydney, and each week Ed and I have a chat about what's the latest news out of the United States, talking everything politics, planning and policy from sea to shining sea. Find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. A rare backflip for Trump this week. Just a brief recap, since part of this occurred just after we spoke last week. 12 Russian agents indicted on charges relating to tampering in the 2016 election. Nothing related to direct collusion yet, but almost certain Vladimir Putin knew about and sanctioned this operation. Trump meets with Putin at a joint press conference, says Putin has denied it and suggests he believes that over his own intelligence agencies, and then backs down and says what he really meant was wouldn't instead of would. Ed, what's your take?
I think everything out of this man's mouth is fake news. He doesn't know how to tell the truth. In this case, someone intelligent enough to guide him said, we have to do something. This is just too big, too bad, too awful. Your clothes are not showing. Everyone sees how bad things are here, and we got to clean it up. And so they went about cleaning it up. And I've seen this before in political campaigns. We have it going on right now here in Australia, where a guy claimed he had a medal and didn't have the medal. Well, I didn't know it was that medal, sort of thing. These guys know exactly what they're doing, and these excuses are horrific, ridiculous. The excuses in this case, though, are more than horrific. They could bend on traitors. When you give comfort to the enemy, under the definition of traitor, that is traitor, and he gave comfort to the enemy. And I think that's what woke him up, shocked him into saying, I better get out of this, because with Mueller on my neck, this could be the last word, and he's gone. And he didn't have any friends in Congress. No defenders.
Just bringing it down, Trump was never going to admit the 2016 election win was anything but 100% genuine, 100% himself. He still hung up on telling people my inauguration crowd was the biggest crowd of all time, let alone admitting there was something funny with the results. However, he did seem to go considerably further, blaming America for the relationship with Russia and Russian aggression. Sounded a bit like Jill Stein, actually, this sort of far-left apologist attitude, not the America First president.
Let's try to separate Trump's business empire from being president of the United States, and it's hard to do. Trump's business empire has some relationship with Russians, very high-up Russians. Trump is scared to death that that relationship will be exposed, or even worse, the money will be cut off. Trump's businesses are plummeting now. His hotels are closing. No one wants the Trump name on a hotel except people in China. So he's trying to save this. His first obligation is to his empire, not to the people of the United States. Now, the second obligation, people of the United States, his view is, let's make a deal. And let me tell you what this deal is. This deal is, you, Russia, bring peace in Syria, and we let you have the Ukraine. That's the deal that's on the table. Peace in Syria, Russians get Ukraine. Russian troops are already amassed on the border of Ukraine. Ukrainian everything has been cut off except oil. This looks like a move to take over the Ukraine, and the president is putting his foot right in it.
Absolutely terrifying. Obviously, you're no telling what the Russians will and can do, but just a word on the money aspect you mentioned there. Will this see a push, as some have suggested, for Trump to finally release his tax returns?
Oh, he's never going to do that. It wouldn't matter what the deal was. He's never going to do that. His tax returns are probably such a deep embarrassment that it'd be embarrassing to him and any potential he has for running for president again. So that's not going to happen.
Not a major figure by any means, but Belmont County GOP Chairman Chris Gagan quit this week, citing moral reasons. He could not stick with the party in its current shape. I've seen other calls in other forms of media saying Republicans should just quit, should just walk away from this administration. What's your take on that?
Well, my take on this is something we talked about some time ago, and that's the Republican Party was already splintering. The people you and I would call Republicans, the Lincoln Republicans, are already moving away from that party. They cannot stomach the racism, et cetera, et cetera. And the high end, the money people who want to buy the way in politics, are becoming embarrassed by what's going on, leaving the people who vote for the Republicans. And now they're standing behind Donald Trump. There is no thing, there's no ideology, nothing. This is very Hitler-like. This is very Nazi-like. So I think we have true believers versus the truth. And the Republican Party, will, among those believers, are only a cover for their belief. They are not Republicans. They're believers in Trump and his very hard right ideas. And we're seeing it around the world.
Just touching on that cult of personality aspect, there was one example, a caller on C-SPAN this week, a caller by the name of Mary Lou from Connecticut, agreed Trump won because of Russian interference, but said, "I want to thank the Russians for interfering in our elections to stop Hillary Clinton from becoming president," thanking the Russians for their interference. Trump supporters are nothing if not flexible. As long as it suits the Trump narrative, they will bend over backwards to stick with him. Is anything ever going to crack that?
No. This is what he's all about. It's all about believe in me. It's not believing in the United States morality, high quality government and governance. It's none of those things. Believe in me. We've been there. Starting 1932.
I believe so, yep.
And moving through 1945, we've been there. Mussolini, Hitler, the Rose family in Yugoslavia. We have been there. They all sing the same tune. Everybody's against us. We have to do this to save the nation and to save ourselves. And it's beginning to put up its ugly head now in South Africa. These celebrations are going on. A number of people have called the South Africans. Now, it can come from the black side or the white side, but it's the same rhetoric.
Going to touch on South Africa again in a moment, actually, but just wanted to talk about how the Republicans are handling the Russia situation now. I understand there's consideration of new sanctions against Russia, but indeed they've also been left up in the air by Russian claims there were verbal agreements in the meeting between Trump and Putin. Nobody knows what these agreements were. There were no other Americans in the room, and nobody's actually real sure what Trump might have agreed with.
Well, that's what I want to refer to earlier. Trump was giving away the store. And his aides wanted him to start retracting this stuff because he would have a long time in purgatory, if not hell, if those negotiations ever get out, let alone what they might portend, the United States promising to leave Syria and the Russians promising to leave Syria when they did, ousting Assad. And in exchange, the U.S. turning its back on the Ukraine and lightning's touch on NATO. That's exactly what Putin wants. You can believe he drove that agenda in that meeting. And don't be surprised if this comes out. You cannot keep this kind of stuff secret.
Well, Trump is back home after NATO, after the Putin summit. It's been a long time away from his own bed for Donald Trump. He doesn't particularly like, leaving the White House or other Trump properties. What's actually next on the agenda?
For him, I think he's going to try to do some tender, getting himself ready now for the inevitable interview with Mueller. He cannot get around it now. After this huge faux pas. He can't say that I don't want to do this because there's nothing to talk about. Obviously, there is something to talk about. He came perilously close to committing treason if he did not commit treason. So he's in the crosshairs now. So he needs to clean up his act before he goes into that meeting. And, you know, we all know his chances of surviving it are pretty thin.
I understand he's actually switched back to saying he can't wait for an interview with Mueller. He's always wanted to meet with Mueller, so he's looking forward to that one, essentially. Also in the Russia investigation, the Paul Manafort case, Mueller's asked for immunity for 5 witnesses in the Manafort case. Things aren't looking particularly good for him. Any inklings of what's going on?
I can't understand what was going on here, because unless these witnesses are able to show that Manafort somehow was working for the Russians and his mission was to get control of the Republican Party, and he communicated that to some people within the party, then sending him to jail for what they're sending him to jail for was going to happen anyway. So there's got to be that first scenario or something close to it. And the reason you give him immunity is because people know the real deal. And I think that's what Manafort did not come to run for the party because he liked the activity. He came to run both for financial reasons and to carry out the Russian mandate.
Just to touch on this briefly, I know it falls back into the Russia situation, but the first big speech by former President Barack Obama in South Africa this week, warning against the politics of fear, resentment, and retrenchment. You've said Obama could be a big campaigner for the Democrats in midterms and 2020. Are we seeing that yet?
Yes, it's starting to happen now. Now, first he's rolling across the big agenda, the Democratic Party, and basically saying, don't go too far to the left and don't go too far to the right. Play the middle ground, but play it safe in the homeland. That is, Democrats running in California talk about California, not about Trump, not about Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. and Trump are really pariahs for everybody. The more you say about them, the more you're out in the cold. So that's the message he's getting over. And take the high ground. And that's what he just said. Take the high ground here. Don't get down there and play in the dirt traps with these guys because you'll lose. So I was very optimistic about how many Democrats would get in. I think there'll be a lot. The real question is the Senate. If Trump continues the way he's going, it's possible that the Democrats could have the Senate and the House. And the Trump presidency would then be over in the normal course of events. But what'd that guy do in Germany?
That's what to keep our eyes on. Puerto Rico, FEMA has admitted to failures in the region this week.
Oh.
Yeah, though it's coming as a bit of a shock.
Surprise.
They've even including unnecessary deaths. They are coming clean on this one. Still, though, they've not processed nearly 80% of appeals on housing aid. What's going on?
They're being just like they were in New Orleans when I was there. Many of the listeners may not know this, but I had to go with the mayor to New York to borrow money from the banks to pay the bills to get the recovery started. They had processed 80% of our claims and paid us nothing. And they'd put in the newspaper, what are the people in New Orleans yelling about? We've processed their claims. Well, to the normal man on the street, that means you got the money. We never got the money. It took 3 years to get the money. 3 years. And you know how the money we got it? The banks wanted to get paid back. And they know how to get their money from the government. So there's nothing new in this. There's no city that has sent a thank you letter to FEMA. None. To some extent, FEMA is a creature of actually the presidency and the will of the presidency, because FEMA is not budgeted. Disasters have no budget. So when these off-balance sheet things come, the president has to start really rejiggering that budget. The biggest place to do that is defense. And this president doesn't want to touch that. So I think he could really care less about Puerto Rico. At some point, the Puerto Ricans and a lot of other people are going to sue big time.
And just finally, Ed, although you'd think he'd have enough on his plate, Trump is already gearing up for a 2020 run at re-election. At least $88 million in re-election coffers. Makes a lot of sense for him in one respect. All those rallies he keeps doing seems to be the only thing he really enjoys about the presidency. Any thoughts, Ed?
Well, I think this is happening. Remember, you get to keep the money after the campaign. So that $88 million, he might spend $8 and pocket $80.
US Event is produced in the studios of 2SER 107.3 in Sydney. To help support the work we do, go to 2SER.com/donate. Ed and I'll be back next week to talk the latest in American news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.